Show. Yes, we're back. We've sorted our audio issues out for this 10 minutes anyway. It never ceases to amaze me the ways in which this show can find new ways to completely cock things up. There we go. We've got the stuff right. We've got everything running. We've got 60% on the CPU, and then the audio disappears for no apparent reason. Who knows? Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, and it's not been a great week because it's the week after a keynote, so we're going to hate Apple all again. Joining me, top left, it's Charlotte, according to the Wirecast, but it's not. It's Madden. How you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thank you very much. A bit knackered, but there you go. Apart from that, I'm fine.
Now, you've been away for a couple of weeks. What you been doing? Isle of Wight?
No, I was here last week. I was here like 4 or 5 days ago, whatever it was.
Oh, were you? I thought it was the week before. Oh, bollocks. It's been a long week. No, you missed the big show, didn't you? You didn't miss the Mac show. Of course. I remember now.
Whoa.
Did everyone else get that buzz?
Was that?
That was an enormous...
And it freaked out my microphone. That's me. Sorry.
That was an enormous...
Oh, that was you. I wondered what was going on there.
It was Madden's fart. Are you well, sir? If tired,
I've still got the sniffles.
Yeah,
still got the sniffles.
I had a bit of a cold on Monday. It was a girl's cold, you know, man cold, not proper cold, but it'll do for a bit.
That's sexism.
Well, I was pathetic.
Rubbish.
I was pretty pathetic, but it was enough to just keep me in bed for a while. Next to him, Charlotte, talking to beds. Yours is in the background.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying. Don't read anything into that, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
It's a good job you're sat there, because your bedroom's a bloody mess, woman.
No, I'm not. It's lovely. I've told you.
Oh, you know, excuses.
It's a good excuse for it, but...
What you been up to in a week?
What we've been doing, we've been recovering at the Mac Observer post-keynote, and I've been looking at people sending pictures of themselves at funerals. That's an actual thing.
What's that? Is that what's it called? Because it can't be a selfie. So what's it?
It is called selfies at funerals.
Oh, that's pathetic. You need to get a better title than that.
I haven't done it. I haven't made it. It's an actual thing. I'm going to put it in the chat room right now.
Right. Okay. Paul Beatty's already suggesting that my pick's Sharon, my wife, but she's not been here all week, so bad luck, mate. Now we've got to have to think of an inappropriate title. Selfiesatfunerals.tumblr.com. That's awful. You need to think. No, there's got to be a better word for that. We'll have to think
on my side.
Yeah.
A morning.
This is just what's making the rounds now. Yeah,
no, I know.
This morning to this one too.
But
it's just
we need to think of something funnier.
It makes me want to ban the internet.
Okay. Beneath her, it's Kelly Gamont.
How to do?
Half right there.
After fashion, yeah.
All right, good. You get an extra hour in bed this week because we put our clocks back.
Not yet.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
you did.
We did. So that gives you an extra hour before you have to come on the show.
This is like the two glorious weeks that I don't have to be roll out of bed and be here ASAP.
Yeah, you know you love it. And next to having had another hour in bed as well, Adam from the Maccast. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good. I thought I had another hour, though.
Oh, bummer. Sporting a new haircut.
But I didn't. Luckily, I showed up early,
yeah.
Just in case.
Always good. Mate, I tweeted out earlier on that the show was at 1 o'clock today or something stupid. What an idiot. We have
The email said 4 o'clock.
Did it? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Get an email? I don't even get an email. I just get a text message. Do you want to turn up?
An email?
There was an email. See, I didn't even know Kelly was coming. There we go. See?
Brilliant.
God, I wish Madden was organising this. the week in Apple. It's been a week after the week in Apple, really, to a certain degree, because, of course, we had the keynote. But one thing that is out there is loads of stuff about the Air. Now, I want to know, because it's Friday, isn't it? Friday morning, first thing, you can go and you can buy an Air at an Apple store. Hands up. Who is going to join a queue?
I'm not queuing. Who's going to queue? I'm not queuing.
Is anyone queuing?
That's crazy.
So you're just ordering online?
I will probably order online and pick up in the store that later in the afternoon.
Right. Okay.
Which apparently you can do. So is the rumor.
Because it's a thing now, is we're hearing.
Okay. Yes. So ordering for in-store pickup is de rigueur. Mr. Van, are you getting one?
I am, but I'm going for the end of the month because I'm going to get my MacBook Pro and my Air at the same time.
Do you get a discount?
Oh, my goodness.
Ow.
Do I get a discount? No, I doubt it somehow.
2 for 1.
I could go and haggle, couldn't I? Haggle? You want to haggle?
Yeah, no. Are you, so you're getting two together. So have you decided on your Retina MacBook Pro yet? What you getting? What spec?
Yeah, the one we spec'd out last week, which you
lower hard drive.
Yeah, but max RAM. RAM.
Max RAM. That's a good choice, mate. I think that's got to be the popular choice. And Charlotte, you getting one?
I'm not. I think I'm going to wait and ask Santa for one.
All right, Daddy. Please, can I have a MacBook Air?
Can you imagine? I think that isn't going to get very far, but I think that might have to be one I save up for. Because I'm still using an original iPad. I've got an iPad 1. But I'm stuck at iOS 5.
My kids are still using the iPad 1 and they love it.
It works. I have to say it works.
Plays Minecraft.
It does most of the stuff I want on it. But it's starting now to get to the point where some of the apps and some of the upgrades are not working.
Right.
And that's why it's the only thing that's really inspired me to want to upgrade it, because apart from that, it works beautifully.
You want to send a message to Don McAllister, because he's probably got a couple that are acting as doorstops.
Yeah, he's probably got
iPad 2s, actually. Have. Maybe even an iPad 4 that's acting as a doorstop by now.
Yeah, probably. I'll send him a message.
I got me 3 on the floor down there, you see. I don't know.
Doorstops. Is that it? Have you been picking up hints off McAllister?
Well, you just leave them lying around, don't you, really?
Yeah, psh, old tech. Yeah, gazelle it.
You know something funny about that is I was just thinking about that this morning. You know, when you're watching Star Trek and stuff like that, it always seemed odd to me that they had, you know, the pads, but they'd have a bunch of different sized ones, and there'd always be different ones sort of lying around. So if you needed, you know, to look at different documents, you'd actually pick up a whole different pad. And I always thought that was kind of weird till I realized this morning I had a stack of my iPad 3 and my Mini and my iPhone, and I'm switching between them, picking up each one.
And the one you stole from Beverly Crusher in medical. And what about you, Kelly? You getting one?
Yeah, I am still debating which one it is, but I think I'm going to go with the Air. I'm leaning toward that.
See, I don't know whether to get one or not.
Oh, are you going to start again on this? It's a dead form factor.
No, because the only thing that pulls me back is the thinness and the lightness. And the other thing I thought as well, I've got my Logitech typey keyboard thing. If it actually works with that straight out of the box, then... Because has it still got the earth magnetsy type thing and the covers and...
Yeah.
So...
As far as I know,
that might be a big pull to stick it back with the old Logitech thing.
No, it's thinner, isn't it? Though,
so much thinner.
Yeah,
because because the bezel is thinner now on the side. So if you're talking about you've got that full size Logitech keyboard thing,
you don't think it's going to fit?
No, I think iPad's going to. Yeah, it'll be smaller, so it won't clip on no more. I mean, you'll still be able to rest it in a little groove and type, but I don't think it will cover it anymore.
Don't think.
The cover will be bigger than the iPad because it's got the narrower bezels. Sides.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm just having a look at the picture now. Is it actually a physical form factor smaller? Does it actually say the dims are smaller, yeah?
The screen's the same size, but the side bevels are small. A bevel is smaller.
Oh, bollocks. You know, there's always some bugger around with a frigging pin, isn't there, when you've got a balloon? you grumpy bastard. Oh,
can I just ask, because this is quite interesting, those that are getting them, have you got the previous iPad, the iPad 4?
No.
So you're not doing a direct number upgrade?
No.
No, I've got 3 that I don't use.
So you're going from 3 to 5 as opposed from 4 to 5?
Correct. I have a 3 that I think will end up going to Mr. Kelly, who currently has a 2. And then
who's
I'll end
than
up
the
with
3. FYI.
Really?
If you don't care about the retina. It's all about
then
the
why?
Retina. Huh?
Then why is it better? Now I'm confused.
Because when they added the retina display, they didn't bump up the GPU or the graphics enough. So actually, performance-wise, the 2 performs better than the 3, and they're both the same size, and they both have 30-pin, which is one of the arguments of why Apple kept around the 2 and not the 3. The big difference in the 3 was the retina screen, which is really nice.
Okay.
But it takes a performance hit because the CPU is not powerful enough to drive all those
extra
pixels. Mystery
solved. We were talking about this on AMB because when we were talking about the Apple event, it was one of the things overall that surprised me was the stuff that stayed. And education was the reason everybody was like, well, yeah, the two at this point, yeah. Like they can just continue to discount that for education because they've made all their money off of it already. But now, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, so, I think it's for all those verticals for education. I talked about that too. I think a big part of the reason for them keeping around is they wanted the 30 pin to stick around. And a lot of the applications for the two that use the 30 pin for accessories. So I'm thinking like medical applications. You're thinking like big IT departments who've invested in docs and all kinds of accessories. And then
because this comes back to my whole 30 pin. Why did you keep 30 pin? So very nice.
There's all those kiosk applications too. Like a lot of people are using those registers or in museums and stuff like that as interactive displays. Mm-hmm. And for that, you don't really care about the retina. And the retina doesn't matter all that much.
Correct. Wow. That was it. All right. It all makes sense.
Bollocks. So it's this. Right. I've done. While you lot were talking about museums,
you were measuring.
I was measuring. And that dimension is 240. That's the same one. So top to bottom, the vertical dimension is the same, 9.4 inches. Width wise, here's the bummer. It's 169.5 millimetres, so that's 6.6 inches, which is, you'll be pleased to hear, thanks to me, a lot narrower. It's 185 on the old spec for the size. So.
Yeah, everybody was saying the size is a lot nicer. That's another reason why, you know, people were saying, well, it didn't change all that much, but this is actually a huge change. I think it reinvigorates the larger form factor.
Well, it's big enough to screw up every other accessory you've ever had.
But it's also small enough now that, you know, some people are saying it's even possible to use it, you know, in one hand, like reasonably, which is interesting.
Well, and this keyboard will always work. I mean, this is the thing about the Apple stuff is a Bluetooth keyboard is still a Bluetooth keyboard. So if all you want to do is like mine, I do have the Logitech keyboard cover that you're talking about. But the rest of the time, if I just want to use my smart cover, then worst case, I can always use my regular external keyboard with it. So
wait, why does Kelly's and Ewan's have a little thing hanging off the end? What's up with that?
My little thing hanging off the end has been very useful over the years. Leave it alone.
What are you talking about?
The little thing.
You got a little extra nub. What is that thing?
It goes with this.
Oh, in my keyboard?
It's Mobi.
Yeah.
Dock.
It's
so that slots. I'm going to press the key and regret it. There we go. That slots in there and that charges. There you go. See, it's flashy.
Oh, I see.
You got to buy the Mobi stuff, man. It's brilliant. And then there's my little pad there for me.
You had a little dinky sticking off the end of yours.
Yeah, well, it's all right, mate. Don't get personal. You know, it works.
My trackpad matches it.
It might not be the biggest thing that dangles off the end of something, but it works.
Now, what I will say is that Adam has an advantage by not having this now because you can buy one now that doesn't need the dock that Ewan held up.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy one now where the micro USB cable plugs smack into the battery.
Well, doesn't that kind of defeat the obvious of being induction charging?
I never bought them because they were induction. I bought them because I don't have to go through batteries. And there's no induction for this. They use the same battery. They both use the same battery pack, so I can interchange them if I need to. But you can buy one now that just has a little USB port in the side, so I can leave it charging overnight and then disconnect it, and then my keyboard goes back to being wireless.
That's what I'm saying. Okay.
I just have the Apple rechargeable batteries, actually, that I have the Inneloops or whatever they're called.
I have some Inneloops. They're cool.
I bought an Inneloop charger as well the other week, and that was brilliant. Good purchase.
But getting back to the iPad, the form factor. Okay, that's the problem when you buy... But that's the problem when you buy accessories, third-party accessories, like especially quite expensive ones. And as soon as Apple changes that form factor, you're sort of...
screwed.
Between a rock and a hard place, really. Yeah, screwed.
Yeah, which is happened before where you've had a device and then you buy a new version of the device and you have to buy all new crap to charge it everywhere. That has never happened in the history of technology, Carl.
No, what I mean is whenever they change the form factor, that's when I buy my accessories at the beginning. So I get at least get a whole year out of them. Usually two. But I wouldn't buy an accessory like three quarters of the way through its life sort of thing. That's what I'm saying.
Sorry about that. My earphones were really pissing me off.
I was in them.
No, they were cutting in and out. So it was like the left one would work and then the right one would work and then the left one would work. And I'd just gone back to my big old ones, which I hate wearing, but I do apologise. But at least I can bloody hear you now. I agree with Carl. No, I mean, I've got a keyboard thing that potentially doesn't work anymore now.
It
won't cover it.
That's all.
I'll have things down.
And I never used mine as a cover anyway, so I don't mind it so much that it doesn't do that.
Well, why did you buy it?
I only ever used it to stand it up and type. I rarely traveled with it that way and left it like that.
Okay.
Can't you still use your... You can still use yours as part with your iPad mini, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. With the, I'm saying the keyboard function perfectly still.
Because you were just using it as a case, weren't you?
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking about with my little iPad mini. I've got a little tiny one, and I use it as a stand and a typing thing and a case. And I've got the one for the three, which is here.
Oh, okay.
But if I got an Air, I can't use it anymore because it's 20 centimeters too short. Well, not quite.
Put a bit of sellotape round. Bit of sellotape around the edges, that'll hold in place.
There's got to be some tricks with rubber that would solve the problem. Rubber solves everything, as we all know. So we're all buying an Air then. Except Santa's buying Charlotte's. I might buy one. I don't know. What about the pricing? Do you think the pricing's good enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
£399 for a... for the 16 gig, so $500.
I don't see how they can make it. But I mean, we'd all like it to be cheaper, but they're never going to be able to make it that much cheaper, a product like that, are they, right at the beginning?
Well, now, if you're thinking about whether you should buy it because of the performance, have you seen the bench tests for it?
Mm-hmm.
A Geekbench score, 1465 for the iPad Air, which is twice what it is for the fourth generation iPad. And... a bucket load more, 4 or 5 times more than it is for the A5X chip in the iPad 3.
Because
of the A7 chip and the separation of it. That's on single core processing. On dual core processing or multi core processing, it goes up again. It's 2,643. I mean, it just basically knocks everything else into a cocked hat. The iPad mini is a fifth of that on multi core processing. So there you go.
Where are those numbers coming from?
They're coming from iPad Air benchmark tests. They are from Geekbench 3.
No, I get that.
From Primate Labs.
Primate Labs are on those. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Primate Labs, good stuff.
It's blown away my theory about the iPad 2, and I haven't seen numbers like that. Every time I've seen Geekbench numbers, I've seen the iPad 2 just slightly above the third generation iPad.
Well, it's there or thereabouts, isn't it? I mean, that could be an on-the-day thing, couldn't it?
Anyway.
It's 263, 261, so it's not enough to really worry. I mean, the leap is the fourth gen, and then the iPad Air is just phenomenal. And I got scoffed at.
I just told Kelly is, according to those numbers, is bunk.
Yeah, now you're lying to me, Adam.
Well, I mean, if you're going to split those over 2 points, that's a bit harsh.
I told her the iPad 2 was better. It's not.
Well, it's
according
equal.
According to those numbers. But every other number's Geekbench. Same test.
In practical use, different. What you're telling me makes sense. I don't need a Geekbench number to back that up.
Yeah. Because it's the same processor. A5 running at 100. The
X was for graphics only, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It didn't do crunching power. It only did graphics because that's where the Infinity Blade thing came in.
Yeah.
So you're right, Adam. You're absolutely right. And you weren't lying.
And I take it this is going to be the same sort of readings as well that we're going to get in the iPad mini when that gets upgraded at the end of next month.
Exactly the same specs, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
I wonder if a lot of people are going to not buy the Air and wait for the new mini.
I don't see why not. I mean, I think as a form factor, it's fantastic. So if you really do need the crunching power and you don't need the size, then yes, it would be a perfect purchase.
I mean, I wonder if we're not going to see the queues down Regent Street like we have done before. So and people are going to wait a month.
So you reckon that there's a good possibility you'll be able to stroll up to Oxford Circus on Friday morning and walk in and buy one?
Yes.
You really?
Yes.
They haven't made a big thing of it, though, have they?
As well, because I always pop up there when there are big launches, and the last couple of times it's been very empty. And I think I'll have a look at the couple of the stores in central London over the course of the day, and I wouldn't be surprised if you can wander on in.
Ooh, blimey.
Because the iPad Mini, they're saying that they reckon, mind you, they always say this, there's going to be constraints on the numbers available because it's got more new manufacturing. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the mini is going to be awful. We're talking about this Friday, though, for the iPad Air, right? The iPad Air is not going to be a problem.
No.
The iPad Mini is your good luck finding one.
Well, they're saying that the constraint on supplies is due to Sharp haven't made enough displays, or they're having trouble knocking the displays out fast enough. So, who knows?
It is interesting, though, about retail experience around Apple, because it used to... I remember when the first iPads came out, or the iPad 1 and 2 came out, it was absolute chaos around Oxford Circus, around the flagship store. They were having to have separate queues for the... It was just chaos. And that really has died down over the last couple of years. And I think a lot of people are doing things like Adam does and picking them up online. You know, people are realizing they don't need it the minute it comes out, because they will get one pretty quickly. And Apple.
Well, and they waited for a phone not that long ago.
Exactly. Mm. That's what I mean. And Apple have got better at reducing that wait time as well, I think, which has reduced the queue outside the shop time.
Yeah. Well, and people don't feel chained to these because a lot of people aren't buying them from a shop under contract. So most people, you know, even my iPad 3 is a Verizon iPad, but it doesn't have a data plan attached to it that I have to pay all the time that I'm stuck with for 24 months. So people just kind of go buy them when they feel like it. And I think that helps a little bit, too, because a lot of people who are trained to that 2-year cycle really get antsy in like month 22, and month 23 is just interminable wait for the inevitable. My contract is up now. I can go get something new. And that was the case before the iPhone was released. It was just that there wasn't anything worth trading up for most of the time, except good Lord, get me away from this horrible thing. I went through phone after phone after phone after phone through things like that. Like, it doesn't work. You know, I was on AT&T when it was really bad, and they had just made the switch from Singular, and, you know, phones were horrible. So I always wanted away from the one that I had because there was something wrong with it. It wasn't like I can get the same thing, but it will be better and faster like I can with an iPhone. So I think that makes a difference, too. And also gifting. For a lot of people, I think the phone, the 5S anyway, is a thing that you go and buy yourself, but the 5C is going to be one that you're like, you go buy your kids, or you go buy your parents, or you go buy for someone else. Mm. You know, that makes a good gift. And I think the iPad Mini is going to be the same way. Maybe the Air also will be pretty popular, but I think anybody who wants an Air is probably going to go buy it for themselves. And the Mini is going to be the thing that gets gifted quite a bit more, if you can find one, of course.
Mark Shepherd in the chat room saying data plans are month to month on the iPad here in the UK. You can get some SIM cards that are data only that you can just pay as you go, top up. I mean, you got the same principle in States?
Yeah. There's some of those. With mine, I can do, like, I can pay for it this month and I don't have to pay for it next month. But some of them became automatic recurring things that you have to eventually go and cancel. But I know there were some places that were subsidizing some of the iPad. Like, you got $100 off of it if you signed up for a 2-year contract and you're chained to that iPad. So I think that makes a difference, too. People aren't waiting to get off contract to get a new iPad.
Hmm. Good. I don't know. I'm debating whether the iPad is We'll just wait for the mini. I'm happy with the mini that I've got. I mean, my eyesight's going, as Carl pointed out last week. See, I do remember something.
Other people who've said the same thing. Like, give it between the two, I'll go with an Air because my eyeballs will be happier that way.
No, I mean, this the Retina display on the iPad, on the full-size iPad I've seen, and I love it. It's a definite step change. But on the mini, I'm not so sure that I'm going to see a difference. Did you guys see the CalDigit Thunderbolt thing?
Is that their dock thing?
Yeah, the Thunderbolt station that's been kicking around for a while in terms of promises, but never really shown up, apparently is available now. It's getting ready to ship. This thing's $200, and it gives you headphone and speaker inputs and outputs. A microphone. It also gives you, on the back side of it, you've got an Ethernet port in, you've got an HDMI out, and you've got a Thunderbolt source, two Thunderbolt sources, and two USB 3, and a USB 3 on the front. And it's good as a dock for $200.
Oh, my God.
But the only thing that struck me with that is it's another device that's one Lightning in, one Thunderbolt in, one Thunderbolt out.
Yeah,
I'm getting to the point. Yeah, I'm just getting to the point. I'm thinking, is there something with Thunderbolt that will only allow you to do relays? It won't allow you to do hub.
No,
I can't think there is. But everything, nothing comes out with hub. All of the hubs in inverted commas aren't hubs. They're just one in, one out, which is what I get already from my monitor. And Thunderbolt is desperate for a hub.
I really want a dock.
Yeah. I don't know. The Mac Pro is, got six Thunderbolt ports?
And yeah, but it makes me think.
I know you can chain six devices together, so why couldn't you have a hub that does more than six out?
Well, if it's got six on it and you can only chain six devices together, that must mean that they must be all different hubs. They must be all different controllers.
Yeah, but that's one to six, right?
Yeah, but there must be six controllers on board. Is what I'm saying.
Right, but I'm saying each port will do six.
Yeah.
So it's six times six.
So that's 36 devices on a Mac Pro. You can have 36 Thunderbolt devices.
Not disagreeing, but best of luck getting them to do it when you get someone who manufactures a Thunderbolt device that's an end stop.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, so I don't understand. I'm with you. I'm confused at why we don't have a bigger Thunderbolt hub.
Thunderbolt is so shit that even when we're agreeing, we don't understand it. No, because there's my Samsung thing, Seagate thing, which I absolutely adore. I use that every single day without fail. But it's a Thunderbolt end stop. That's it. It's done. It's one in. Job finished. And all I can do is plug stuff on it. And the other one is one in, one out on the desktop version of that. And you're just kind of like trying to run a monitor as well as... and take it off a laptop is just my brain hurts trying to figure out how to do it so that I've got enough to cover all four of them. No one does six. No one does a hub because you can't do the six thing because the hub itself becomes one unit. So then there's automatically people would think therefore that your extra Thunderbolt makes another six and it doesn't. It's a relay.
You can only chain them.
That's what I'm saying.
The thing where Thunderbolt's only chainable?
That's what I'm saying. There's only ever one in, one out. And the Mac Pro has got six controllers, which is six one in, one outs.
Yep.
When I start hearing about chaining devices, it just makes me nervous.
Well, it does, because it goes right the way back to all that crap that you used to get in your PC and SCSI.
Yeah, SCSI.
And what goes on the end? It's so SCSI in a cape.
Surely it must start the performance of some of the devices.
Say again, Charlotte, because that was sensible.
Sorry.
I mean, it was almost... I was saying, but surely mustn't... If you're having to start chaining things up, you know, and whatever, surely that's going to start affecting the output quality and the power you can get from those devices as well.
Well, no, that's why it's limited to six.
But if you're... What you're saying is you would like to start expanding that.
No, what I'm saying is to try and figure out how to chain six devices together... Okay. When one of them is an end stop and the others have only got one in, one out, you take your external Thunderbolt screen, for example, you've got one coming into your laptop and then you've got one port in that going out, so that's an inward and an outward again, But then trying to get that so that you don't stick this in the middle of it and stymie yourself too early, like I said, it makes me brain hurt at times.
Yeah.
But they can't do two. Well, they can't do three, say, on a single device.
I just put in the chat, so Sonnets makes a Thunderbolt docking station with, like, a DVD, a Blu-ray drive and all kinds of stuff. They call it the Echo 15 Thunderbolt dock. It's got 15 ports, it says. And I'm like, so it's got to have more one-in, one-out Thunderbolt, right?
Nope.
Nope.
One-in, one-out.
No USB.
It does.
So it's got 15 ports, but one Thunderbolt in, one Thunderbolt
Shit, it's even
out.
It's got a super drive in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a Blu-ray drive. It's not just a super drive. It's a freaking Blu-ray drive. I mean, the thing looks huge and cool, but...
It's a Mac Mini with another Mac Mini on top of it, by the looks.
It looks really ZFP.
It's got two eSATA on the back. That's cutting edge. And FireWire.
I think it's cool. Yeah, it's got all kinds of ports, but only two Thunderbolt.
One in, one out. There you go. There we go. We've hit on something, mate.
It must only be chainable, because that's what it says. Thunderbolt must be daisy chainable. I had not looked into it that closely.
Which means we need a law, and it has to be an international law that's ratified by the UN that says you have to have two Thunderbolt ports on every device. Because when you put one on, that's when it really screws with your mind.
Oh, that's what you guys like to do over there, right?
No, that's when it screws with your mind. When there's only one Thunderbolt port on one thing, that's it. It messes with your head.
To do mini USB.
Go on.
Isn't that thing you're showing us, Ewan? Isn't that the bit that plugs into your computer?
You still only do one in, one out.
Yeah, but so it will. But the last one, it just goes in, and then it comes out into another one, and it comes out and goes into. As long as it's at the end, so you only need one. You need termination point, which is at one end, obviously, of the machine, the computer, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then at the other end, wherever the last thing item is. As long, of the six.
Yeah, but I mean, the one that really screwed me wasn't, you'll get this in a few weeks when you get your Retina MacBook Pro, because your Retina MacBook Pro has got two Thunderbolt ports on it. And when you've got two Thunderbolt ports, that's when it just messes with your head. One's fine, because it's just a chain. But when you've got two on there, it's just, that's it.
Well, and if you attach a monitor, that has to be at the end, right?
Exactly.
According to the spec.
Yeah. But then the monitor has got another route. And if you start throwing in a mini display port to VGA in that for a projector or something, then that's it. Pfft, forget it. My head wants to explode at that point.
But it's super fast.
Well, Greeny says it's rubbish.
Well, I think Greeny's not got... No, it's not rubbish. I mean, I absolutely adore it, and I'd be utterly lost with it now. But it's the one thing that's made me realise I don't need to be buying super high specs for storage internally anymore in laptops and desktops. Won't be doing it.
Which brings me, when I get an Air, I don't think I'm going to get a very large capacity Air. I think I'll probably get away with 16. Is 16 the lowest one? Yeah.
No, you can't do that.
No, don't do that.
Why? I don't really store anything on it. All my music's in the cloud now. All my writing stuff is in the cloud. All my contacts and stuff is in the cloud.
So
there's not much I actually keep on my machine.
I thought you were buying a Retina MacBook Pro.
You're buying both?
I am.
And an Air. Oh, and an iPad Air. Yeah, get a 16 iPad Air, absolutely.
We're talking about 16. And I was wondering about that too. Like, what size to get is sort of the new question. And my Mini, I got a 16, and I've regretted it ever since.
The one thing I can say that's kind of a bit of a pisser is I've got the my little iPad Mini. I bought the 32 gig, and I've got 17 gig on there, and I never go above 18. Why? You're over full.
A lot more movies from iTunes. So when I get an HD movie on there, it's 4 gigs. You know, these days with all the extras and all that stuff. So you start putting a few of those on there, and you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I carry the trilogy around on my iPad, so I need at least a 32 when I get one, because I need room for stuff besides three movies.
I use Plex to shrink them down and put them on there with Plex Sync.
Because I'm a nerdy nerd.
Well, when you get the iPad Mini as well, I mean, Charlotte, you saw my Zombies thing.
Yeah.
And how crystal clear was that the other night?
It was beautiful.
That's under a gig. And it was beautiful.
What devilry is this?
Well, I've got I've got a film which I bought through the iTunes store, but it took up too much space, so I managed to get it below a gig and still keep the quality extremely high.
How?
I can't say that bit. I can tell you that I have the film below a gig on my iPad, but I have purchased it. I have purchased it through the iTunes store, absolutely. Whether I purchased that copy through the iTunes store is a different question, but I have purchased it.
No, I'm way ahead of you there.
Ah,
my lord.
Ching. No, I paid for Brad's movie, so I'm quite happy that I did the right thing. But
did you pay Brad?
I ain't carrying around 2.5 gig or whatever it was. I mean,
that was how much it was?
It was about that, yeah.
Well, you can download. I mean, you can change the settings, right? And get the lower. If you've bought the HD from iTunes, you can get the lower, smaller version.
Which you don't notice any difference at all on the screen if you do get the lower version.
Yeah, so I probably need to change my settings. That would probably help.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I like to have films on my iPad Mini. So it's interesting. So I've always had a 64 gig. Full-size iPad, and then I have this 16-gig mini, and as I'm moving to the Air, I'm thinking about swapping. I'm thinking maybe I can get away with 16 on the Air because I do more of my writing and research and web surfing and stuff on the bigger iPad, and it's the media consumption on the mini that I like to do that's taking up all the space. Yeah, because I like to watch movies on it. It's a you much watch nicer mini, size for holding.
I'm gonna have that, to, that I feel like I'm living in the Air.
Sorry.
Go on, Charlotte.
Twilight Zone with you, and because I was having this debate with him again. So you're saying, Adam, you're like Ewan, and you watch full-blown action blockbuster movies on the little mini.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm losing this one, aren't I? 2 inches
from your face, it's like watching a 70-inch screen.
I'm losing this battle, aren't I?
I'm telling you.
It's devotion, though. Like, I used to watch movies on my iPod video. And how big is that screen?
Yeah. And they were cracking.
1.5 inches.
Yeah, inch and a half. Star Destroyer. Inch and a half.
32 gigs. Go on, sorry, mate.
Sorry, the thing is, when you watch movies on like a smaller device, it tends to be movies that you really love, so you enjoy them and you already know. I'm not sure if you're going to watch a first-run movie on a device like that.
Oh, good heavens, no. I'm still talking about Star Wars.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm talking on the iPad Mini. I'm watching TV series that I've got, and also I'm watching movies that I've got down and haven't watched yet. So they're new ones. I watched Hansel and Gretel the other day. Wish I hadn't bought that.
I just bought the extended edition of The Hobbit, so I'm looking forward to that. 3 hours, 2 minutes.
Extended.
Whoa.
2 extra minutes walking.
I bought The Hobbit already, and I'm not rebuying it. Screw those guys.
I knew it was coming, so I didn't buy it originally.
Yeah, you did.
Why?
My house buys the extended edition. Because they come out up front and say, like, here's what you saw in the theater, but you know there's going to be a better one later. They always do that. That's like the one good thing about buying the Lord of the Rings movies is that they always go, okay, you can have this one now, but you know there's a better one later.
Yeah. Only got about 20 minutes more.
What? Oh, my God.
20 minutes more walking.
It is. That's all those frigging movies ever are, is a journey.
Yeah.
Well, it's a quest. That's what it's called, an unexpected journey.
No, but that's all they ever do. If you buy any fantasy novels,
more expected.
Fantasy novels are nothing about quests, and they all frigging walk. They never get a horse.
Well, what do you want them to do? Take a Google car or something?
No, they're all long-winded quests, treks.
Unicorns. So
it's 20 minutes of those fading montages with the aerial shots, right? Is that what they've added?
Yeah, it's just more than
shot in 4K.
Yeah, Peter, what's his face? Jerking off.
20 minutes
to the scenery, of course. Mark Shepherd in the chat room says 32 is his sweet spot. The secret's out, apparently. Ping says, he's got a question for us, I'm looking to replace my 13-inch Air next year and thinking of a 13-inch Pro in January. Or do you think, does the panel think, there will be a 12-inch MacBook Retina Air next year?
Wait, what?
Is there going to be a MacBook Air with a Retina display in it at 12 inches?
If they solved that battery problem.
The Retina display bit I could probably understand, but I'm not sure they're going to come out with a 12-inch.
It'd be 13. Oh, it's 13, right? It's stay at 13.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's... Yeah. No, but I think, well, 12 would be perfect. And there's a certain element of... I remember the old 4.3 G4. I mean, that was a great shape carrying around.
But
a Retina 12-inch iPad Air?
Blimey.
iPad Pro, I mean.
So is iPad going to get a bigger form factor?
Yeah, that's the iPad Pro.
Which is definitely coming.
That name now.
As William Green bought iPadPro.com.
Yeah.
Sitting on it. He's going to make him a million. No, I mean, he's saying definitely 12. There's a 13, there's an 11. Why isn't there a 12?
Go on an inch.
Just what the world needs, another inch.
Don't we all?
Now then, did we all watch the Google thing yesterday? There was a Google event, and they concentrated on photography for the second half of it because it was all held in a gallery. And they've upgraded Snapseed.
Were my co-workers from Nick there? I gotta go back and watch the video.
All the Nick filters have been upgraded, and there's an extra one been added as well. Snapseed's been upgraded as well with some new filters, and some of them look pretty crappy, but the HDR one, they showed a couple of examples of supposedly Vic Gundotra's photography, which I doubt, it looked very good. It looked very, very good. If you've got Snapseed, you've got a hell of a surprise waiting for you in the next update, because it's free.
Do you remember that photo I did a couple of weeks ago, of Parliament?
I do. It's very
and
good.
It made it sort of look evil.
That's right.
That was one click. That was one click using Snapseed stuff on Google Plus.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. There was a lot of ghosting around the turrets, unfortunately.
Yeah, because you go from dark to light and it still can't handle that very well. But
no. Well, according to the HDR that they showed yesterday, it will handle that very well on the new version. So, and he said it was out yesterday. So if you've gone and checked, Snapseed should be updated on your computer as we speak.
That's all their brilliant German engineering.
Is it? I didn't know there was
German. Yeah, all that stuff's done in... Well, all the engineers, when I worked at Nick, all of the programming and all the engineers and all the math guys are all out of Germany, out of Hamburg and Lübeck is where those guys were. I don't know if when Google bought the company, if they brought them over to the States or not.
Like after the Second World War.
But those guys are brilliant. I mean, Image and, you know, the sort of math guys over there were just geniuses at that company.
Google are really going for the photos, aren't they, at the moment, with particularly around trying to get people with Google Plus and make that the place you put your photos. They always kind of liked it, but I'm quite a big Google Plus one, but they seem to have really gone for it and really upgraded it.
The whole thing last night was about Google Plus as a photo environment. So
exactly.
If you launch up photos, if they notice a sequence of photos, so you've shot it on burst mode, they turn those into an animated GIF automatically. If you've got a sequence of photos with a static still image in the background, they'll eradicate all the movement. So that's like the stacks operation that you can get in Photoshop. If you've got a series of motion movements in it, they'll give you a single print with each of those points of movement in it so that it looks like a staggered stack of images altogether. And they'll also take your movies, and if you throw stuff in of a similar date, they'll automatically make a movie of the day, and you can stick music to it. And I've got to say, some of the results were great yesterday. Really, really good.
I mean, there's always the jokes of, you know, Apple trying to play catch-up with Google. Every time Apple announced something for the iPhone, some Android fanboy said, oh, you mean just what we've had on Android for 2 years? But actually, this seems a lot like Google playing catch-up with Apple, because Apple have always, whatever else they've done, they've always been miles ahead on video and sound and photo production.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it looks like Google are really trying to play catch-up with that now. So it's an interesting dynamic, I think.
But Google are doing everything in browser. So, I mean, I just checked.
Yeah,
you're doing it in Google+.
But it's so that if you have a Chromebook, you can do it all on your computer.
Also, to take advantage of advantage of the Snapseed stuff in Google, you've got to use Google Chrome as a browser as well. You can't do it in Safari.
Obviously.
Well,
yeah.
I need to jump into
something. Obviously.
Too, though, right?
I got to get going, so I just want to give my picks real quick because I have to bail. I have a meeting. So my first pick is the new version of Fantastical for iOS. Thank you, Adam.
You it's sneaky on sale cow.
Right now. No, I asked him in the chat. I said, I have a bonus pick instead, and he said, go ahead and use it. So Adam let me have it. So thank you, Adam. Fantastical is awesome for a couple of reasons. First of all, there's also a Mac version, and so you can sort of have a similar environment on both machines. But then also, it uses natural language. And so instead of having to go in and fill in all the boxes with the information, you can go type a sentence into Fantastical that says, lunch with Adam next Tuesday at noon, and it will parse all of that out for you. And then it fills in the reminder and it sets everything up the way that you want it to go. Now, the nice thing about the iOS version is it does the same thing. So you can also dictate to it. So you can hold it down and you can hold down the button and use Siri to set a reminder in natural language, and Fantastical will parse it out. And then it also now syncs with reminders, which is the new big deal, because reminders also, the system reminders in iOS have geofencing, which is super cool. So you can use that to remind you when you come and go, as long as location information works for you. I know over at Mac Stores, Frederico was having trouble with it because the geolocations are Apple's maps and he doesn't have them. He doesn't, his maps database doesn't work very well for him. So for me, it would probably be working a little more functionally. So I'm totally going to try that out. It's $3 right now. And it's because they did a complete rewrite, not just redesign, but rewrite for iOS 7. So it's a limited time sale price. And I'm going to give you a bonus pick because we were talking about changing cables and getting new connectors and things. And so there's this device from a company called Auris Sky. And what it is it's a little majigger. That's a technical term that you drop on your 30-pin dock and it turns your dock into an AirPlay speaker. The reason this is cool is because Bluetooth compresses audio. So if you have a Bluetooth speaker, it'll sound good, but this will sound better because AirPlay over Wi-Fi is lossless audio. That's why things sound awesome when you bounce the movie from your iPad to your television. Guess which movie I've tested this with. And the cool thing about this is that if you had a dock that you know, for your 4 or your 4S that you're not using anymore, you can still get some life out of it without having to do anything too weird. You just pop this thing on there and you don't have to even put your phone on it anymore. You just choose it as one of your AirPlay devices and you're off to the races. They are $80. They come in white and black. Or I'm sorry, not $80, $74 US. And you can buy two of them for $140 from the Auris, AURIS.com. And they're very cool. And I can't wait to get my hands on one because this is exactly the thing I need for a couple of docks that I have at my house. So this is a really neat way. If you have like an iHome alarm clock or something, this is a good way to get some extra life out of it, even if you've bought a 5 or a 5S that has lightning instead of 30-pin at the bottom.
So it's good for getting a legacy device back, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the thing about it is like I still, at my house, we still use the alarm clock all the time. So instead of being able to charge a phone at night, now like it can be used for a speaker, and that's super handy.
Excellent.
So good. It gives you an opportunity if you have one of those docks or something. Like I used to have one in the kitchen. You can get some new life out of it.
Great.
So good, there you go. And good, I have to cool bail. Thing. So I will all see right, you guys
later. Au revoir. Have a happy Halloween.
Totally. Fantastical is awesome. You guys should totally get it. And I will talk to you guys later. Have a great Halloween.
Cheers, bud. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Excellent. Steve Jobs' house is being preserved. The San Jose Mercury News reports that the Los Altos Historical Commission has managed to get the house at 2066 Chris Drive in Los Altos, California, sanctioned. What's the word? Kept.
Preserved.
Yeah, it's protected and preserved in its original state. This is the place where him and Woz put together the first 50 machines for $500 each and sold them to the bike shop and the homebrew computer club. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, the funny thing is that according to Woz, if you read his book, you know, everybody talks about the garage being the place where the Apple was made.
Mm.
He says something to the effect of, really, they weren't in the garage all that much. It was mostly he and his bedroom and Steve and his bedroom in the other half. So he finds it funny that history remembers the garage, and whereas like HP really was worked out of a garage, apparently. So
it's kind of romantic, though, isn't it? The image of two friends in their garage sorting stuff out. And that's kind of why I think we've gone for it, as opposed to the reality that they were working separately.
Well, here's the best bit, right? The vote is the culmination of a two-year effort by the Commission to preserve the one-story ranch-style home as it currently stands, says Chairman Frank Bishop. He praised the work of his colleagues and the city staff, which included extensive research and a property evaluation. The documentation looks very complete, better than some of the books as far as the accuracy goes, says Bishop. Right, so basically what's happening here is that they've got this thing preserved, so you cannot change it. It is preserved in its original condition. But what gets me is it's still owned by his sister, and she lives there, Patricia.
Yeah.
So if she wants to remodel the kitchen, she can't.
Right.
I presume she's agreed to this, but
hang on, is it inside or outside that's preserved?
The whole thing's preserved.
Oh, it's not just the exterior?
No. If she wants to remodel inside, take any internal walls down, all that kind of stuff, she can't. Let's say she's disabled one day and she needs to get a wheelchair and build a wheelchair ramp up the front and widen the doorways. She can't.
I'm trying to think of an Apple TV joke or something and I just can't get there quick enough.
Only if you couldn't get the Apple TV through the door.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
But I just thought that was really crazy that she can't do a thing to that house now at all. She's stuffed.
Maybe they've already worked out an agreement where after she's done, you know, it gets passed to the city or something like that.
Maybe after she's
done.
She could
possibly sell it for a lot of money.
Didn't know how to put that gently.
you make life sound like a bagel in the oven.
It's just like all Apple products. You can't open up.
All right, sorry, get your joke out, Carl. Go on.
Too late now.
No, we've got to hear it now.
It's just like
any other Apple product. You can't open it up and change it anymore. So,
very good. That was worth waiting for. But can she sell it for a fortune? Says Mark Shepherd. Yeah, but I don't think she will. Mischief often begins in the garage, says Bookery. Yes. Last story. This is the one that's going to get me the death threats again this week. There's a story that I thought was quite interesting on Two Wire. It says, how Apple media events become boring and too predictable. And I thought the last keynote they delivered was really good. A lot of insightful stuff, real good innovations with it. I thought it was excellent. In terms of content, superb. But what this guy's saying is that it's become too predictable in the way that it's set up. He says, so here's what happens. Tim Cook comes out on stage, signature jeans, black shirt, usually untucked, shows off some stats, and the other execs on the microphone show off software. There's a few jokes and the audience laughs. Then Phil Schiller comes out, head of marketing, and talks about things that you just don't understand and lots of Xeon E5 chips and LB10M L3 Cathy turbo boosts. Then Cook's back on stage, introducing a new version of iPad or iPhone. Then Schiller comes back on and talks Klingon yet again. Then there's a video of Johnny Ive saying it's the best new thing that they've made ever. And the shows are like watching someone perform the same magic show over and over again. Eventually, it stops looking like magic. And I think it is they do have a point there. It is a touch formulaic, wouldn't you say? Although the content's great. Well, yeah, but no, it shouldn't be.
I mean, we don't want performance art, do we? We don't want that monstrosity that happened on... I can't remember what a company it was.
No, good point.
Exactly. So all we want to know is what's coming, when's it coming, how much is it going to cost us, next thing, please.
Oh, well, I think that's... point four... I'm not going to read the other points out because they'll only get me hate mail. But point four says Apple media events are meant to inform, not to entertain.
Yes.
So why try and make him entertaining then, though?
Well, you've got to remember, it's only recently that the great British public, world public, has got to see him. They're normally, like, for the press.
Yeah, true.
They're not really meant for the general population.
Yeah, more importantly, talk about the new theatre that they're going to have on the new campus.
Yes. People.
Is that in our notes?
No, we haven't got any notes. That would require an organisation and planning, which we definitely don't have. But no, there's 1,000 people, isn't it? And it's a Christly type thing.
But yeah, that's all.
Go on, Adam.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, it's this all glass enclosure all around the top. I guess it's subterranean, so you go down there, but it's got the dual glass elevators and the glass stairs, and there's a big spaceshipy looking thing on the top of it. It looks awesome.
Do you think part of the problem with this is actually they're feel formulated because they're showing us the same products time and time again.
We're never getting it, and here's another thing. That's never going to come back. But I think it's unfair to say that we're getting the same things time and time again.
My personal view
was that the last keynote was probably the most innovative they've done in a long, long time. I thought it was a very good keynote.
But it's still upgraded iPads, upgraded Mac Pros. Okay, the new Mac Pro was a big upgrade.
iPad Air?
That's one thing, but it's still a new iPad.
Integration with iWork? There was a lot more there, mate.
Yeah.
I'm going to defend them here. I'm the first one to give Apple shit when it's due.
No.
But I will defend them here. I thought the last keynote was innovative. They got a lot of good stuff in there. You got a lot of stuff being released: Mavericks, iWork, iLife, all that kind of stuff. The Pros, the Retina Pros, the drops in prices, the free OS coming out, the Air. I thought it was a really, really good keynote, but it is formulaic, I'll grant you that, though.
It was a really good keynote, but there wasn't a jaw-dropping moment, and they haven't done it for years. And that's why everything feels the same, because in a way...
I don't know, the price of the Mac Pro did.
But what you don't get those moments that often. We've been led into this false sense of belief that every keynote is going to produce a moment that's going to make us go, oh, my God, how did they do that? That's just not the case. It's never existed. Everybody knew, like when I was doing the show the other week and we was talking about there's no big reveal anymore, and we was like talking about the iPhone and the iPad, and he reminded everyone, but before the iPhone came out, there was tons of rumours that was coming. So it was not expected. It was never seen before, granted, but it was expected. If you see what I mean. So we live in this universe where every day we're just doing nothing but reading tech stories, and we know this stuff is coming.
Point two on the list says the Apple rumor mill has removed Apple's ability to make a surprise.
Oh, great. That's not my problem, but I don't care if I know about it before, because I think Carl's completely right. We're never going to have a situation where you can pull something out of your pocket and we'll never have heard about it before. It would be almost astounding to pull off a security operation like that now. But still a product we've never seen before would really change things. And I know I'm being harsh and I'm expecting, but they do need to come up with something new to add to the line. It's just my opinion.
But we do believe there is something to come. Sorry, Adam, go on.
He's laughing. I'm having a conniption here because this is just the media setting expectations and saying this sort of thing. Yeah. And I think people aren't looking closely. If you look closely at that, there were huge things there. The name of the iPad Air, first of all, the iPad Air in general, in a year, Apple took that thing, made it super thin. I saw no one comment that both the Air and the Mini were going to have A7 processors, 64-bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is all in 1 year. They made all these changes. So on the surface, it doesn't look like a huge thing. But if you look at what they've done and accomplished with that, just the mini form factor in a year, and then you have the Mac Pro on top of that, you have all of the stuff that's in Mavericks, and a lot of that stuff is under the hood. I think the problem is that Apple is in this stage with the product line where it's all about these refinements, and a lot of them are more technical and under the hood, but it still puts them way ahead of their competition. And these are hugely innovative things that they're doing. It's just people don't they don't see them. If it doesn't look different, it's not different.
I think the other thing as well is there's an end game to some of these things, which is not apparent.
Yeah,
I think if you look at the 64-bit architecture, I think that's enormous. And I think what's happened is that they were looking at merging iOS and OS X for a while until they saw the horrific mesh-up that Windows 8 made. And now what they're doing is saying, right, well, let's unify the architecture because then we can unify the programming, and all we're doing is changing front-end value to it. And
well, I think that vision was there long before Windows 8.
But no, I think they were going to start making things look similar, which I don't think they're going to do anymore now. They're going to let the desktop and the touch device stay separate in their use, but they're going to allow control functionality and visual change to be there. But one application for a developer will run on both platforms without any change.
Yeah, but I mean, these updates at this last, you know, there are a ton of huge things that weren't predicted in the media, that weren't talked about.
Yeah.
And so many people have just glossed over those.
Yeah, it was silent.
I don't know what it is. My only assumption is they just don't understand the under the hood stuff as much as they understand, oh, this is a whole new device. Everybody wanted an iWatch or a TV or some other thing. And Apple will deliver those when there's a reason for them to exist. But I can't find any. But when asked about these things, it's like, what do you want an Apple TV to do, or what problem is it going to solve for you? And look at you with a blank stare. Or same thing with an iWatch or a smartwatch. It's like, what do you expect that product to do, or how is it going to innovate or change your life? And you ask that question, and they go, it would be cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Also, the iWatch thing, I don't think they're going to actually call it an iWatch, because a watch limits what it can do. And because he keeps mentioning wearables, he's very, very interested in wearables. Mm-hmm. And they've taken a couple of shots at Google Glass and stuff. So I think they're going to call it eyewear.
I think that the wearable technology bit, the one thing they're all struggling to come up with is not what the wearable tech can do. They're trying to find a way that when you put it on, you don't look a twat.
Yeah.
That's the greater challenge.
Completely agree.
It's got nothing to do with the tech.
Problem with women. I cannot imagine women wearing them.
No. No, women won't wear tech anyway, so I agree. It's a man thing.
I think they would if you could make it look not ridiculous. I think some would. I think you could make, and as long as you didn't just go for pink it and shrink it, and it looked,
yeah, I've just got that one as well.
Kit that looked different. I think women would wear it, but I cannot imagine a woman in a million years walking around wearing Google Glass or a Pebble watch or any of those things.
Pebble watch you could get away with, but not a Google. I mean, a ping in the chat room has said an iWatch would help you and get the show time right, perhaps.
I'll just say something surprised me about my Pebble watch, and this may go to what you're talking about, Charlotte, is that, you know, I didn't think a woman would be at all interested in the Pebble watch, but I have probably gotten more compliments from women on the Pebble watch that I have, and maybe it's because I have a red one, I don't know.
So many to the point that you've given it away now.
But I've had them literally say to me, oh, that's something I would wear. And I'm like, really? This thing's huge. So I don't know.
Those were mutually exclusive statements, however. This podcast and others is brought to you by UK2. They're brilliant. Yes. You guys are buying absolutely shed loads of stuff from them. They're very grateful. I've got a message from my contact there, Andy, and he says he's really, really, really happy with the fact that they're supporting us, which he enjoys doing anyway. He would do it regardless. But apparently you guys are buying loads and loads of stuff off them. So thank you very much, directly from UK2, for all the support that you give them and then inadvertently give to the show as well. Use our offer codes, use our click-throughs. We get credit for them. UK2 makes sales, and we stay on air as a result because they pick up all our bandwidth charges, all of the server costs, absolutely everything. We couldn't afford to do the shows if it wasn't for the support that UK2 give us. So please, please, please support them in return. Thank you very much for their support and sponsorship of the British Tech Network. We've got loads of shows as well. If you haven't listened to all the other shows, you've got to listen to all the other shows. Right.
Every single one.
The only person that's on all of those shows, I think, Mr. Madden, your turn for a cool thing. Now, I've got to ask you a question about media. What do you think to the blacklist?
I'm quite enjoying it.
I'm a Spader at his best, mate. I was really concerned that it was just another Hollywood has-been. being dragged out, and he's not. He's frigging brilliant.
Yeah, he's. I mean, when he was in The Office, the American version of The Office, and he was that sort of laid back boss, it lends itself perfectly to that new character he's playing as well.
Yeah,
I think, always in control.
And I'm enjoying the subtext with the husband. That's quite intriguing. Very, very good series.
We don't know what's going on there.
We don't. I'm not giving anything away there. Right, Mr. Madden, give us your cool thing.
Well, I get Don McAllister's screencast online magazine, and this month he's got a VPN service called Cloak.
Right.
What? So I'm always on the lookout for a good VPN service, so I gave it a shot. All it is you can download Cloak from the website and stick it on your laptop, and it just sits quietly in the background, just behaving itself. You tell it networks that you trust, and then it will just turn itself off. It will ignore them. But as soon as you wander out and go onto an unprotected Wi-Fi network, it will activate and become this portal, this VPN for you, without you having to do anything, which is always the thing with VPNs. You always forget to turn the darn thing on. And there's a free app for the iPad and the iPhone as well, so you have to switch that one on manually, though. But the rates are really good. I just got to find the price. And I think you get 30 days for free, for example.
Yep.
And then it's a tiered thing where 5 gigabytes is $1.99 a month, or it goes up to unlimited, which is $14.99 a month.
$14.99 covers, that's $14.99, not pounds. And that covers all devices or only one device?
That's all devices. So once you sign in, you create yourself an account, you log in on your various devices, you just turn it on and you can just stream away. The basic plan is 25 gig and that's $7.99 a month.
You've got to say, the big problem with VPNs is remembering to start them. You do want one that's an auto startup and that's a fire up and forget. And that doesn't hog your cycles either, though.
That's it. No, it works really well. And it's also got, because it's VPN as well, you can tell it if you want to appear in specific countries again, just like you can on that Unblock US thing I recommended a little while ago.
Oh,
mind you, that does DNS. That doesn't do BPS. So.
Yeah, no, but that gives you loads of shit with PayPal. Just do be careful of that. PayPal cannot handle VPN.
Oh, no, yes. You must never do, you've got to watch out for that. Like, I had my Google Mail and stuff on, and it suddenly shot me up warning saying, you appear to be in the USA when I was using the UK a little while ago.
Yeah.
So, yes, you've got to keep an eye on services like that.
Excellent. Good pick, sir. And not bad on price. I mean, that's 11 quid. So very, very good.
Yeah, and 30-day free trial just to see how you get on with it.
Brilliant. Ms. Henry, what do you have for us?
Oh, well, you were talking about friends at UK too, but also we've got friends at TechSmith who sort us out nice at the bash. And I love their stuff. I have used Snagit loads for blogging and getting really nice screenshots. And also, the thing that's my call from this week is Camtasia, which is their screencasting software.
It is fabulous.
It's so good.
There's no comparison.
They're a brilliant company, and their products work on Mac as well as PC. They're really easy to download and get started with, and if you've ever used even the most basic video editing software before, you'll get it really easily. And you can put together really nice stuff using Camtasia. It's a really, really good product.
Excellent. Now, I mean, they do wonderful webinars, if you want to go and watch those as well.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the website now. It's full of help and webinars and
and if you want to
use and all sorts.
If you want to get some hands on with an expert, they do regular regional masterclasses as well in London and Cardiff and Dublin and Edinburgh and that kind of thing. So, well done. So we love Betsy. Hello, Betsy. How are you?
Yeah, no, I've been using Camtasia and Snagit as well for a while, which you can get in a bundle, and they're both just brilliant products.
Yeah, if you haven't got those, Muppet, absolutely. Adam, what do you have for us, mate?
Well, first I'll second that. I love Camtasia for Mac. It's awesome. I am going to go with an iOS app called Abby Business Card Reader, ABBYY Business Card Reader.
Okay.
And this is an app that you can use if, I go to trade shows or I'm meeting people and stuff like that, and I always get like a big stack of cards that I come home with, and then I think I'm going to put them into my contacts system, and then I never do. And I even have like a Fujitsu scanner, but I never scan those things through and have them OCR'd and stuff like that. So that's what this app does. It solves. You use the camera on your iPhone and you just literally take the card, hold it up to your iPhone, take a snapshot of it. It will OCR all that stuff, put it into contacts fields, and then you can send that right over to your contacts in iOS. It'll also keep a copy in the app itself. You can choose whether you want to store a record in the app along with the stuff that you send to contacts, or you can just send it to contacts. And it works surprisingly well. I've tried a couple of these different applications, and this is the best one that I found. So it's just a quick and easy way to get contact information from someone if they hand you a physical card into the contacts application. And I think it's like $4.99, I think, $3.99, $4.99, something in that price range.
And it's got an interactive map.
Yeah. Yeah. You can pull up maps. You can keep all the records in there. It's great. It's a really simple thing.
If you're in a country, you just open up the map and it'll show you all the contacts that you've logged and where their locations are on the map. What a great idea. I like that.
Like I said, I know there's a couple different apps for this, and I've tried some of them. There's some free ones out there. I was looking for something to get it in, and the key here, though, is the OCR and sort of recognizing it. And Abby has been doing OCR software and stuff for a long time. They're actually the apps that came with my Fujitsu scanner for converting, say, scanned documents into Word documents or into Excel documents is done by Abby. Abby Fine Reader, I think, is the name of their other product. And so their OCR is just killer. And that was the key on this app. So
excellent.
Well worth the investment.
Well, I like that. That's a good pick, mate. Very, very good. When you said business card reader at the start, I've got to admit, I wasn't fired up. But at the end of that, I thought, that's bloody brilliant, mate. Well done. Excellent pick. One of the things that I think people do when they come on the show is they try and think of something new. They have to get something that's brand new that's out there that they've used that's wowed them and stuff like that. And I've got a pick for you today, or a cool thing for you today, that I've got to say I've only just appreciated this week just how cool it is. And that's Netflix. And you're going to go, oh, God. Oh, my God.
You're just getting around to this?
No, you've not listened there. I've not picked it because it's a new thing.
Oh, Ewan.
No, no, no. I've always had Netflix, but I've always sat down and watched Netflix. So I've sat in front of the TV and I scan for something and I sit and I watch it. And then when I've had enough, I switch it off and I go and do something else. And this week, I've had 3 days at home. Monday, I was a bit ill, so I didn't want to get out of bed and I didn't want to go around too many places and do too much. But I was getting hooked because I've started watching Damages. And I didn't watch it when it first came out. I know they're 5 seasons in, but I'm catching up, all right? I'm still on season one. So this week, I've been watching Damages. And I'm sitting there watching it on the TV in the bedroom, and I'm kind of like, I need to make a cup of tea, really. I fancy a cup of tea, so I'm going to get up and make a cup of tea. I'll pause it. And then it struck me, I've got Netflix on the iPad. So I started Netflix on the iPad down here because I came to answer some emails. I thought, I'll find the thing and I'll scroll forward. What I didn't realise was that it starts up where you left it off upstairs. So I finished watching it on the Apple TV upstairs to the second. I'm then watching it again from the iPad 3 here. And then I stop and I pick the iPad 3 up and I go into the kitchen and I sit and make my cup of tea. And then I come back and I do a bit here. And then I watch it on the computer and the computer knows exactly where I am. And then I go back up to the TV, and then I go into the lounge on the Apple TV in the lounge, and it knows where I am.
You've only just realised it does it.
No, I knew it did it, but I've never used that feature
never
before.
Used it, yeah.
I've always sat down to watch Netflix. Yeah, don't stop taking the piss, Madden. My pick. Like,
what you make it so easy?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Sorry. No, I just said at the start, cool things are not about having something that's new. Cool things are about finding something that you realise is a cool thing. And this week, because it's the first time I've ever had to use it that way, I've realised just how cool Netflix is. And the other thing is as well, I've finally got rid of all the shit that was on my profile because the kids were watching it.
Oh, the multiple week profiles.
Yeah.
Killer.
Yeah, now I've got rid of week Inspector Gadget, iCarly. Forget everything.
Next week, my core thing will be the will.
I might do Spotify next week. Yeah.
Bollocks the lot of you.
Google. It's called Google. I'll tell you.
We'll be back again next week, but these won't.
I wasn't piling on. I didn't do
it. No. You'll be here, Adam, because you're great. You're too polite. I've only got you to swear once on a podcast in 2 years, so. Where can we get a hold of you? Madden, you ungrateful bastard.
You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Claw0101, or hopefully this week or next week, my new Apple-orientated blog thing, macandforth.com.
There we go. Ping says, I've watched all seasons of Spooks with Netflix, and I like the way it starts the next show once the next one's finished. Bookery also says that I must love iCarly, which it's not bad, actually.
That, you know, that feature that he's talking about where it goes from one episode to the next, I think you can turn it off, and I need to go in and do that on mine because I often fall asleep.
Yeah, and you lose 3 episodes. I did that earlier in the week.
Like, suddenly, which episode was I on? Where then that whole remembers your spot thing is the bane of your existence.
Yeah, it is. No, that's a good point. Ewan is creating VIP material. No, not during the show, I'm not. Did we do where you were, actually, Carl? You answered.
Yes.
Yes, good. Charlotte, where are you?
I'm at Charlotte A. Henry on Twitter. I'm plus Charlotte Henry now on Google Plus. They gave me a special domain. And if you go to charlotteahenry.com, you can find more information than you could possibly ever need about me.
Oh, dear. Never mind. And last but by no means least, Mr. Christensen, where are you?
You'll find me MacCast most places. So MacCast.com is the website, MacCast on iTunes, MacCast on Twitter. Occasionally it'll be the MacCast if someone else stole my handle. And I haven't picked up my Google Plus thing yet, and they haven't offered it to me. I got to double check today. They just started doing that. So that will save me a lot of hassle. And hopefully it'll be plus MacCast there, but we'll see what they'll let me have.
If you've got a Mac, you need to get A, Screencast Online with Don McAllister, and B, you need to get the MacCast, because they're the two essentials to anyone who's got a Mac, most definitely. The third one would be the British version of MacCast, which is called British Mac.
Checks in the mail.
Stealing, thieving bastard that Will Green is. If you ever noticed the similarities between the two shows, but notice which one's posted first, eh? Well, no, which one's posted at all. I exaggerate. William Green will be back next week. We'll be back to normal next week, probably on the Friday. So do apologise if you've missed us live this week, but it needs must because I've got work tomorrow and I've got stuff to do on Friday, so I'm a bit stuffed. See you all next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
It's all right, I've finished now.